Will the House please come to order? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks. Dirks.
Here.
Dirks excused. Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman. Harshman. Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen. Jorgensen. Landon.
Here.
Lockhart. Lockhart.
Lockhart.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Mercer.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen. Moniz,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Philp,
here.
Gorberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Jorgensen,
here.
Lockhart, 59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer for today is by the Reverend, or excuse me, Father Gary Ruzica, representing St. Mary's Catholic Church. Father Ruzica.
Let us pray. Holy and great one, we acknowledge your presence as we begin the work of this day and of this week. We thank you for the gift of moisture which enriches our land and brings it life. Father, you are loving, full of mercy, compassion, and wisdom. You are the giver of all good gifts, which comes from you, the Father of light. We thank you, Lord, for our lives, our families, our opportunities, and our challenges. Most of all, we thank you today for the privilege of living in the great state of Wyoming. Sustain those gathered here in courage and confidence as they face the needs of our time. Help them to build a better world for all who live in our state. May all they do be founded on the dignity of the human person, the value of family life, respect for your law. Lord, we pray that you be with them today. All glory, honor, and praise be you to you now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Will the House please come to order? The doctor of the day is Dr. Jody Cousins from Cheyenne. Welcome, Dr. Cousins. Thank you. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 23, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
We're at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 203.
House Bill 203, introduced by Representative Connolly.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to discrimination.
House Bill 203 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 261.
House Bill 261, introduced by Representative Bagby.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Department of Corrections regarding mandatory savings accounts for inmates.
House Bill 261 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 15.
House Joint Resolution Number 15, introduced by Representative Wallace.
First reading of the bill.
A resolution to proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution relating to education.
House Joint Resolution 15 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 259.
House Bill 259, introduced by Representative Cohey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to charter schools.
House Bill 259 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 263.
House Bill 263, introduced by Representative Wallace.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Livestock Board.
House Bill 263 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 14.
House Joint Resolution Number 14, introduced by Representative Wallace.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to prevent the establishment of a national animal identification system effort in Wyoming.
House Joint Resolution Number 14 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 250.
House Bill 250, introduced by Representative Moniz.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to municipal fire chiefs.
House Bill Number 250 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 257.
House Bill 257, introduced by Representative Wallace.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the administration of government regarding Wyoming First Children's Finance Program.
House Bill 257 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 260.
House Bill 260, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Workforce Services.
House Bill Number 260 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 262.
House Bill 262, introduced by Representative Senlek.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Environmental Quality Act.
House Bill 262 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 232.
House Bill 232, introduced by Representative Connolly.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to discriminatory compensation practices.
House Bill 232 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The last bill for our consideration is House Bill 266.
House Bill 266, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health regarding cardiovascular disease and diabetes initiative.
House Bill 266 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 26, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne, signed Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 60, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne, signed Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 113, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne, no, Mercer, signed Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 141, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Patton, Bagby, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Quarburg, Throne. No, Peasley. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 105, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Philp, Stewart. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 111, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Philp, Stewart. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 112, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Philp, Stewart. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 87, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Edmonds, Escobel, Goggles, Miller, Peterson, Semlich, Wallace, Anderson. Noes, Anderson, Madden. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 48, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 130, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 207, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 59, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 84, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. Excuse me, Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to refer a bill to appropriations. I'd like to refer House Bill 130 to the Appropriations Committee. It does have some money in it. Thank you.
Thank you. Hearing no objection, House Bill 130 is referred to appropriations as long as it's been read in. It has been. That is appropriate. House Bill 130 is re-referred. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer House Bill 114, Community College Amendments, to appropriation. It has an amendment. I believe it was read in?
No, Mr. Chairman, it has not been. House Bill 25 on second reading. Mr. Reading Clerk.
House Bill 25, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to special license places, plates, retention by spouse.
House Bill 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 46.
House Bill 46, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Medical Guard, National Guard Medical Profession and Retention Program.
Representative Hallinan, you have a committee of the whole amendment, or excuse me, second reading amendment number one. Oh, no, excuse me, Representative Buchanan. I'm sorry, Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a second reading amendment to House Bill 46. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment basically deletes the Committee of the Whole amendment that we adopted on Friday. And basically, I bring this amendment to you for a couple of reasons. The Standing Committee amendment had changed the original bill and lowered the amounts in there, and then the Committee of the Whole amendment had language in there that I talked a little bit about on Friday that would allow reimbursement or one-time bonus payments, basically $15,000 for a two-year commitment or $30,000 for a four-year commitment. My concern on Friday, and I still have that concern, is that the folks receiving these bonuses or these quote-unquote reimbursements would not have to show or prove that they were indeed carrying medical malpractice insurance for the same time period in which they were receiving the bonus. And I support this program and I support the legislation, but I think it's important to keep the language in there that we will reimburse folks for the medical malpractice insurance if they sign up for a 2 or a 4 year program. But I think if we're going to reimburse folks for that, we need to know that they are indeed have that medical malpractice insurance premium out there that they have to pay. And under the Committee of the Whole amendment, it basically said if you sign up for a 2 year deal, we'll give you a $15,000 payment at the time of execution, or a four-year deal was 30, and there was nothing in there that made me feel comfortable that we knew that the medical professionals would actually be expending those amounts for medical malpractice insurance. And the other reason that I brought, the second reason I brought this amendment for your consideration is because the Committee of the Whole amendment spoke about a two-year program, and on page 4, under B3, the only time period that the bill mentioned is, quote, on line 12, an at least four-year program. So it was also, the Committee of the Whole amendment was also wholly inconsistent with the existing language in the bill. My understanding is that the good representative from Campbell County is going to bring an amendment right after this to make it so that there can be a two-year time period available, making it consistent with the original language of the bill. So I would appreciate your consideration for adoption of this second reading amendment to House Bill 46. Thank you.
Representative Hallinan. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the main reason for this bill is to encourage recruitment and retention. And the malpractice insurance premium has been selected as the means with which to kind of grade what kind of physicians that the military needs. Some of the ones that they need the most are the ones with the highest malpractice premium. And yet for the same rank, they get the same pay as physicians who are not as critical to their need. So this was selected as a mechanism to accomplish recruitment and retention of needed specialties. Of course, all the physicians they can get are helpful, but if they don't have any orthopedic surgeons who have a very high malpractice rate, or if they don't have any OBGYN in the current makeup of the military, then they're not meeting their needs to the troops. So I think we argued the issue of the need for these physicians the other day, and I would resist this amendment because it defeats that main purpose of recruitment and retention. And I would reiterate, as I said the other day, that these physicians are serving all of our troops. We need to have them available, and this is the best way to get them. It's clear to me, after in my experience, and I think anyone, and I would repeat what my colleague from Campbell County, who also is very aware of the recruitment situation, that a signing bonus is a much preferred method of recruitment as opposed to dribbling out small amount of money over 4 years' time. So with that in mind, I would urge that you resist this second reading amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The issue with my second reading amendment here to House Bill 46 isn't questioning whether or not we should provide these incentives whatsoever. That's not the argument. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with the bill. What I do have an issue with, if you read the language before the Committee of the Whole amendment was adopted, after the Standing Committee amendment was adopted, they basically took out some language and had added, if you look at it before the Committee of the Whole amendment was adopted, it said that we would reimburse the lesser of 25% of the total cost of premiums, here's the key language, paid by the qualified medical professional during a calendar year. And then there was also a or lump sum language as well. And with that language, I find that we are ensuring that the medical professional actually paid an insurance premium that we're going to reimburse. Under the language of the Committee of the Whole amendment, we've basically said you can do a two-year agreement, pay 50%, which, number one, it upped what the committee did with the bill. It increased it from back to 50%. And it still has language in there under the lump sum that basically says we're going to give you this money at the execution of the contract, and there's no proof that the person actually had a medical malpractice expense. And that's my only issue with it, is I don't think we should use money for recruitment if the person isn't actually being reimbursed for an expense that they actually had.
I'm sorry, Representative Hallinan, that was the sponsor's second time. We are on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 46. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 46 has failed. Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 46 has failed. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill number 46, and I request your favorable consideration of it. The good majority leader spotted a drafting error in the Committee of the Whole amendment that we adopted the other day. We said that in the Committee of the Whole amendment, we allowed the military to recruit some physicians at their will for 2 years as opposed to only 4 years. In the original bill, it said 4 years. This would result in the military being able to offer 2-year contracts in addition to 4-year contracts. The 2-year contract would be the minimal amount offered. So it simply changes where it says in line 12, page 4, it changes the word 4, and it inserts, it deletes 4 and inserts 2. And that would allow the bill to be consistent with the Committee of the Whole amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you come to the chair, please?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regretfully, again, second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 46. And because I did not speak on second reading amendment number 1, I feel that the second reading amendment number 2 is substantially changing the intent of the original bill from a reimbursement program. Page 3, line 16. The intent is the malpractice insurance premium reimbursement. And the point that the majority floor leader raises is that there's no guarantee or requirement in the bill for the medical professional to obtain the insurance premium or pay it themselves. And I think the way why the bill is written the way it is because there might be a medical professional who isn't actually paying the insurance premium themselves. So they either get reimbursement if they do pay it, and if they don't, they can get the lesser of $14,000 in the bill, which is now amended by Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to be a total of $15,000 for the 2-year contract, as I understand that. The 2-year service contract and $15,000. I'm not sure why the sponsor of the Committee of the Whole amendment wanted to go from $14,000 a year to $15,000 for the 2-year service contract. But I'm sure he can speak to that. But if we take it to why should it be 2 years rather than 4 is my first question. And I'm sure we could come with a third reading amendment that would say more clearly what I think the intent of the bill is, that if you don't have to purchase the insurance, you're eligible for the other reimbursement. But that seems to me to be a bonus payment or a signing bonus anyway. So I'm a bit confused as to why we would go to 2 years rather than 4. Thank you.
Anybody else for the first time? For the second time? Representative Hanlon, then.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem and Mr. Speaker. 2 years rather than 4. Well, some of us get rather long in the tooth while we're serving in the military, and 2 years may be about all that we can reasonably offer. I think there are 4 physicians in the National Guard right now that are eligible for retirement. We may not be able to keep those physicians if we only allow this bonus to be for 4 years. So I guess that would be my main reason for 2 years rather than 4. The second part of the question, in the Committee of the Whole amendment, it says that the amount that is paid depends on the most recent calendar year. of malpractice premiums. So if they don't have any malpractice premium in the most recent year, they won't get anything. So I think that that indicates that these people are still practicing medicine. Now, the most that anyone can get, according to the Committee of the Whole Amendment, and I guess we're discussing both issues here at the same time, Committee of the Whole Amendment and this amendment that I have proposed, which is simply a correcting amendment. But the most that they can get is 50% for a two-year and 100% for their entire malpractice premium. So after that, their malpractice premium is going to stay with them. So it's simply, I think mainly the main issue that I think we all need to address is, what is the most effective way of recruiting these physicians? Is it to give them, and in the original bill it was 50 and was lowered to 25%, and a maximum of 14 and down to a maximum of 7. So a maximum of 7 for these highly paid and highly sought after physicians, and dribbling that out over 4 years, I don't believe is a very effective recruitment technique. And that's why I would argue that we can, and I don't know that if there's some wording change that needs to be put in here to require on third reading to require that they continue to have malpractice insurance in the 4 years that they're in there. If somebody wants to put that in, I don't know whether that's a good idea or not. But that's really not the issue of this Committee of the Whole Amendment. The issue of the amendment is to get the most effective recruitment and retention technique in place for the National Guard to go out and use in recruiting physicians, and to allow some flexibility, either 2 years or 4 years, and I think this bill does it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
I think the sponsor had his last time. Calling for the question on second reading amendment number 2 on House Bill 46. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 46 has passed Committee of the Whole. House Bill 46 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill 51, introduced by Representative Bagby, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding handicapped motorcycle plates.
House Bill 51 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 106.
House Bill 106, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to criminal procedure, firearm ownership, domestic violence offenses.
House Bill 106 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 138.
House Bill 138, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax refund program.
House Bill 138 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to higher education matching funds programs.
House Bill 155 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 3.
House Joint Resolution number 3, introduced by Representative Childers, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution regarding legislators' terms of offices.
House Joint Resolution 3 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. I would call for any re-referrals that we may have at the moment.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 147 to Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Anderson, did you have a re-referral?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd request re-referral of House Bill 87 to Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business. A bill's on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the third reading consent list consisting of House Bill 2, House Bill 8, House Bill 29, House Bill 34, House Bill 135, House Bill 150, and House Bill 165. House Bills 12 and 98 have been removed from the consent list.
Would anyone else like to remove any bills from the consent list? Will the reading clerk please read all consent list bills?
House Bill 2, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding street rods and custom vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 8, introduced by Corporation Committee, an act relating to certified public accountants, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 29, introduced by the Tribal Committee, Tribal Participation in Community Facilities Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 34, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to alcoholic beverages regarding liquor licensees, industry representatives, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 135, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to the liability of owners of land recreational safety act amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 150, introduced by Representative Lebno, an act relating to peace officers regarding their definition, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 165, introduced by Representative Lebno, an act relating to civil procedure regarding adult adoption, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo. Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks excused, Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingrey,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lebno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Filth, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 2, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Pedersen? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 8, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 29, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 34, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 135, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. Oh, Mr. Speaker, conflict?
Conflict.
Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 1 excused, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 150, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 165, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 2, House Bill 8, House Bill 29, House Bill 34, House Bill 135, House Bill 150, and House Bill 165 have passed the House. Next, we are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 12.
House Bill 12, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to brand inspection fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment to House Bill 12. Basically, this amendment is just adding or other responsible party after the livestock owner. I think 90% of the time it's going to be the livestock owner that bears these fees, but there are a few instances that I can think of. If a truck wrecks on the highway, then that should not be the responsibility of the livestock owner, but the trucker's insurance should be able to cover that, and they should reimburse fees from that. Also, some of the oil and gas companies have agreements to keep cattle guards cleaned out, and then if they don't, then the cows get on the highway. It's not the owner's responsibility, but it's actually oil and gas company's responsibility. So there's just a couple instances that would probably not be the livestock owner's responsibility, so I would like to add the language or other responsible party and encourage your favorable consideration and would stand for any questions.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate the work that the body has done on this bill, and this does further clarify who the responsible party should be, and that's a good change to this bill and a friendly amendment, and I would ask that you support it. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Seeing none. House Bill 12 we are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 12. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 12 has passed. House Bill 12, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks excused. Edmonds. Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley, Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 12, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 12 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 98.
House Bill 98, introduced by Representative Millen, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding mandatory minimum sentence for sex abuse of a minor, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Lebno.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 98, and I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. I stand before you with no sympathy for sex offenders, and particularly no sympathy for sex offenders with minors. But I also stand before you with great respect for our system of jurisprudence and the balancing that we allow, and the great respect that I have for the courts of our state. Through the first couple rounds of this bill, first reading, there are a whole series of questions that were asked about unintended consequences that were possible under this legislation and unanswered questions. And those questions still seem to be unanswered, and the unintended consequences still seem to be the hazards of this bill. And I spent the weekend trying to think of an amendment that I could propose that would address those unintended consequences, and there simply are none. I think the best policy is to trust in the courts and not substitute our judgment as legislators for those people who know the facts and the circumstances in a situation. And so I urge prudence in moving forward. It hasn't been but a couple years ago in one of these sex-related pieces of legislation, we found that our legislation was a little heavy-handed. We had a prosecutor who was a little heavy-handed. And we had to come back in here in the next legislative session and reverse that heavy-handedness. And so I'd urge this body to move with caution when we start to substitute our judgment for the judgment of the judges who are there to hear the facts and circumstances.
Representative Korberg, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Clearly, I stand before you today to encourage you to support this piece of legislation. And I guess from my perspective, I'm here speaking on behalf of the victims, not those who have been convicted of this crime. So let us remember that this is first-degree sexual abuse of a minor. It's the most serious, most egregious degree of this particular crime. It does deserve a minimum sentence. That sentence right now in the bill is 15 years. And I guess it's interesting to me, I was thinking about this over the weekend, we're always cautious about putting minimums on. We already know that many of our bills already have minimums, but interestingly enough, we certainly don't hesitate, do we, to put maximums on. Every piece of legislation we pass when it comes to a crime, we automatically put a maximum on, which limits what the judge can do based on the facts. So I think it's totally appropriate for this body to put a minimum on this type of a crime, and I think that at a very minimum, this crime deserves 15 years. So I encourage the body to support this piece of legislation today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Millen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also ask you to please support this legislation. I do not think that we are tying the hands of our judges. This allows our judges and our DAs to work together to put the actor in the category that they belong to be in. And I just want to remind you some of the things that we have statutory minimums for. You know, kidnapping is a felony punishable by imprisonment of not less than 20 years. Sexual assault in the first degree, not less than 5 years. Sexual assault in the second degree, not less than 2 years. Robbery, felony punishable by imprisonment of not less than 5 years, nor more than 25. Blackmail, not less than 5 years. Burglary, not less than 5 years. These are crimes that I feel are
the most egregious crimes that we can have committed against our youth, and I do stand here today and ask you to please support this legislation. Thank you.
Representative Hales, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to echo the remarks made by the good representative from Gillette. I think that it is extremely important that we leave this in the hands of our judiciary. There has been a case very recently in my hometown where a 17-year-old girl, because of her wanting prom dresses and time off from her work, went to a young man's apartment, and he was charged because she was 17. We have a number of teenagers, young adults, and my concern is that these are the people that will be charged and their lives will be ruined. I have no sympathy for people who prey on young children, but I think the law is there that the judges can give the appropriate sentence for that. And in that regard, I would ask you to reconsider this. Thank you.
Representative Hallinan, for your first time.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In front of a lot of courtrooms, they have, I don't know what the Greek goddess or Roman goddess is that is holding a scale. And that's one of the reasons why we have judges. And we don't just have people be sentenced by the prosecutor or the defense. The judge is removed from politics to the great degree, to the greatest degree that we can do that. Prosecutors are also politicians. They're going to have their own reasons to put their thumb on the scale, just like we do as politicians. That's what we do. We put our thumb on the scale to cause money to go a certain direction or not to go another direction. The judge, his job is to maintain balance. And that's why this bill destroys the ability of a judge to do that. Now, the majority of these people who are going to be guilty of this crime that we see here are not going to be long-term sexual predators. The way this bill is written, I believe the majority of them are going to be other young people, 18, 19, 20-year-old man boys who are going to be having sex with 15-year-old girls or 14-year-old girls. Now, the type, there is really, I don't think there's any evidence, and if the sponsor can point this out to me, that there is evidence that these 18, 19-year-old man boys are going to be committing sex crimes the rest of their life. If there is evidence that they do so, I'd like to see, I possibly could vote for this. But I believe that that is not the case. So we will be putting these young men in jail for 15 years for a crime they may never commit again. And the judge is unable to balance the scale against the bill and for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Pedersen, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to make sure we're all looking at the same part of the act. As to address the ages, once again, underneath 16.2.314, sexual abuse of a minor in the first degree penalties, the act or community sex abuse must be over 16 and the act or under 13. We weren't talking 18 and 15. This is the first degree. Being 18 and being a legal guardian of them, being 18 or and holding a position of authority. We're not talking about some consensual piece that goes between an 18 and 16 year old there in high school, and we're not playing this whole thing out to be some affair that ended up that way. This is intrusion. It is child rape that we're talking about here. We're not talking about, you know, some high school romance that was incorrectly prosecuted. You're talking about child rape here. And when you talk about where these people are going to go, I don't think you're going to end up with a bunch of these young kids. This is actually to get the hardcore felons off the street. And one of the great things that we have here in the state of Wyoming, something incredible that we have, is we put together an entire piece that addresses the whole spectrum of folks who have committed sexual assault once they're in our correctional system. So these hardcore offenders, one of the better things, you're not locking up and throwing away the key for these hardcore offenders. We actually have stuff that is going to be working on them. But you cannot get someone in a program if you can't charge them and get them in. These people are committing these crimes. We've seen the statistics out there. They're not going to just go to a program voluntarily. This is how you get them into that state-sponsored program that covers the entire spectrum from the from these very terrible offenders down here on this level to someone who is on one of the lighter schedules. But they have a whole host of ways they're taking it on, and the treatment's a great way. We talked about judges and DAs and all that stuff, and I submitted to the floor before. We have judges and individual judges and individual DAs who are for this, so we can't make this blanket statement. They're not all for it. They're not all against it. It's a call that you want to make on the floor, that how does the state of Wyoming do this? It will still go to court. We will still have the process. They still have to be found guilty of child rape for this to take place. And I submit that to the body that we're all looking at the same thing. So on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Peasley, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a former prosecutor, this legislative process has been an amazing experience, and I recognize the difficulty we have when we talk about the most vile of humans. And I know that Bill O'Reilly's head will spin around if we don't pass this as he's dictated, but I'd like to at least point out we have a huge budget for judges, and my assumption is we're paying them well because they're smart individuals. Whenever we have these committee meetings, nobody speaks for these people, and perhaps that's the way it should be. But it seems as though this train going down the track without hearing the other side can get out of control. If you look at the definition of child rape, everything in there is vile and reprehensible. But there are scenarios you can draw from those facts and from those situations where there would be a compelling case for something much less than 25 years in the penitentiary, especially when we're talking youth. We're talking 17 to 21-year-old kids. We're talking relationships like employer-employee or supervisor and apprentice that could be taking place at a McDonald's or at a golf course or in a situation that we would deem not that that drastic. So my point is that if there's a situation where 25 isn't enough or is too much, then we ought to at least give the court the authority to come down. Now, everybody backs out of that and says, well, they've got other avenues. There's deferred processes. There's way and I apologize for using Bill O'Reilly, Your Honor, or Mr. Speaker. I'm a newbie, and in any event, we have those situations where the judges have got to look at it. Now, here's the thing: when we have this legislation, I know the bad guys aren't there, and they shouldn't be. And when we pass these laws, but we have to take this into account. The one group of very, very vile and reprehensible people that have been well spoken for in this country have been the inmates at Gitmo. I can't believe the groundswell of sympathy that we hear for them. And all I'm saying is, in this group of people, most of them put away. I've always felt that. I was a prosecutor. I had these kind of people, and they were the ones you wanted to put the furthest away. But I am telling you, look at those facts and those situations that are defined as first-degree rape, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to find a lot of situations under there where you would not want the judge's hands tied. So I stood against this in the Judiciary Committee. I think that 25 years is an awful long time for a 17 to 19, 21-year-old kid. There ought to be room for a second chance, and I would speak against the bill.
Representative Brown, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I once tried a case, a criminal case, a long time ago before I learned better. And my partner and I knew almost everybody on the jury, and we knew them well. It was a second-degree murder case, and I got a self-defense verdict. We talked to members of the jury afterward. It was just a unique opportunity. In fact, I talked to several of them horseback. And they told me an interesting story, that we had worked hard on the jury instructions, the judge had accepted those, and the jury was instructed about that crime. And the jury got in such a tangle that they finally resolved it this way. They took a moral vote, and on the moral vote, they said he was guilty 12-zip. Then they took a vote after reading the instructions and took him on the basis of the instructions and found him not guilty 12-zip. So he was found not guilty. Now, what's the lesson there? The lesson is that a lot of the determination is in the instructions. So when I look at this statute, and I would urge you not to be fooled by the title in the statute. You have to look at the body of the statute. This is a status crime. It is not one. We heard all the penalties that were read off. Many of those, if not most of them, have an element of intent in them. And there's a requirement that there be some intent to do something. There's no intent in this. This is what's called a status crime. It's the same as running a stop sign. If there's intrusion, they're guilty. And the jury instructions are going to be simple because of that. We don't have to instruct about intent. We don't have to go through all these things. The jury instructions are going to contain some preliminaries, and then when they get to the core of the matter, they're simply going to say, in one form or another, they're going to say, your job is to decide whether there was intrusion or not. If there was an intrusion, you will return a verdict of guilty. And I predict that this is exactly the kind of case that could give the same result that I had in my case, where they could have a moral vote, and they could say on a moral basis, this dude is guilty. But on a legal basis, he's not guilty. They could go the other way. They could say, on a moral basis, he's really not guilty, because there's a lot of mitigating circumstances in here that ought to be taken into consideration. But the instructions that come to us from the judge say simply one thing. If there was an intrusion, you will find guilty. So they could have a moral vote that says he shouldn't be guilty, but they have a legal vote based on the instructions and come back and find him guilty. So that is my concern about this. Now, I heard in the debate that this targets hardcore offenders. I don't see that in here anywhere. It doesn't talk about hardcore offenders. The jury, in making its decision, is not going to take that into account. And that's where the rub comes in. It's simply a question, was there intrusion or wasn't there? And if the jury finds there was intrusion, then they're boxed in by the instructions and have no choice except to say they're guilty. All those mitigating factors that might come into play, are they a hardcore offender or are they not? Is there something goofy going on here? And let me tell you, I can't, there are things up here that I can't say, but I will tell you this. When it comes to deviant sexual behavior, there is some weird stuff out there, really weird stuff out there that judges have to deal with. The jury in this instance is not going to deal with that. They may take a moral vote and talk about it, but when it comes to their vote that they're going to, their verdict that they're going to render, it's not going to be accounted in there. And those mitigating factors and all that weird stuff is only going to be dealt with by the judge in the pre-sentence investigation. And after there's been an investigation and he has all the history of the conduct of this individual, the facts and circumstances of the case, then he's going to make his decision. And that's my big problem with this, is that I don't think, given all the weird stuff that there is out there, given the fact the jury is not going to consider the facts and circumstances and whatever may have been at play in there, I just object to putting a bottom number on here and telling the judge no matter what you find, no matter what the mitigating circumstances may be, or how weird this deal is, and believe me, there's some weird stuff out there, like One I can tell you about is one time, the deal we had one time where the wife kept a pipe wrench under the bed and she worked the guy over with the pipe wrench. There, that's just a lightweight one. There is some weird stuff out there. And so, and the only one that's going to hear all that is the judge, not the jury. So that's why I think that the judge ought to have the discretion. I'm not making excuses for these people. It's got a top number of 50 on it. But what I'm saying is the bottom number of 15 is just too harsh. It just takes away too much discretion that the judge ought to have when he's the only one who's going to take into consideration all of the mitigating facts and circumstances that may exist. So I'm on the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Patton, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to engage the discussion of weird acts and all that, but I do believe the body is entitled to know what the period, the mandatory period, really is. It's my understanding that in the committee we voted on 25 years and that was rejected, and I believe that the bill stands as the sponsor suggested, and as the speaker was in error, that it actually, the mandatory sentence period is 15 years and not 25. Thank you.
Chairman Illaway, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask you to take a look at the handout that came out that the good chairman of the Judiciary Committee put out at the very bottom. And my learned friends have all been saying, well, we take away the discretion of the judge. Well, take a look at the bottom of that, and it says, the second offense is life without parole. Now, wait a minute. Haven't we taken away the discretion of the judge in that case? Yeah, probably so. But that means that this actor has continued to do something. Second offense. I think 15 years is quite generous. And I think we ought to take a very good look at that and take a look at that first column that the good chairman of the Judiciary Committee put out. I think this ought to make up your minds, and especially when you get down to the bottom, second offense, life without parole. This person did something to a minor. Actor is 16 or older. Victim is 12 or less. Gross. Awful. Think about your own children. Think about your own children. The next one, actor is 18 or older and parent, step-parent, adopted parent, legal guardian. Victim is 17 or less. Third piece, actor is 18 or older and in position of authority. Victim is 15 or less. Come on, people. Think about your own children. I think 15 is generous. On and against the amendment.
Chairman Gingrich, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer a few of the questions that have come up, one of the questions that was about rehabilitation, and it appeared from the speaker's comments that primarily the purpose of sentencing, at least in that speaker's mind, was rehabilitation, that once you have cured them of raping children, that somehow they can go back out into society. I would just point out there's three different philosophies behind sentencing. One is deterrence, that if you have a large number, it deters people from originally committing the crime. Whether or not this does that, you know, that's for you to decide. The other reason we sentence people is rehabilitation, to give us an opportunity to get them help and to make them better. But there is a third aspect of sentencing that I think sometimes we forget, and it's actually one of the more important. It is punishment. It's retribution. You raped my child. You took a five-year-old child and raped that child. You don't get to go take a few classes and get some hug therapy, and all of a sudden you get to come rejoin us in society. You must be punished. You must go to prison and sit there for a long, long time. We don't say this when it comes to murder, and murder is actually one of the few crimes where you have the least recidivism.
for the most part, most murder that goes to the Wyoming State Penitentiary, they're passion crimes. They're people that knew each other and they got mad and they shot the guy or stabbed the guy. It's very rare that murderer is ever going to commit a murder again because it was a crime of passion usually. And we don't ever say, well, you know, I don't think they're ever going to hurt anyone again. Let's, you know, 6 months seems good for killing that person. No, we put people away and we actually sentence them to death for murder in this state. Number two, this idea that I somewhat find is almost a fiction, this idea that we leave discretion up to our courts. We don't. And I thought the good representative from Cheyenne did a superb job. She pulled out statute after statute, robbery, blackmail, kidnapping, all of these we have minimums on. And to say that it's okay to have minimums on arson, but not to have a minimum on raping a child, it just seems odd to me that it's okay, sure, minimum is fine on an arson charge, but it's, boy, we really got to watch out on it when we rape children. And then this idea about intent, you know, and I don't mean to be flippant here, but it's intrusion. I don't know how you can defend that. Did you trip and intrude? You don't accidentally commit intrusion on a child. And lastly, the last question was good time. You get good time on a 15. That would probably, if you're pretty good, and what good time is, if you're good during the day for one day, you usually get a day and a half taken off of your term. If you want to see the formula, I can give that to you. It's a formula. So 15 would turn into more like 8 or 9. Thank you,
Chairman McComey, for your first. Oh, you're gone. Representative Hammonds, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After my freshman year, I worked with the last speaker, trying to come up with what we felt were strong answers to this horrible crime. And as I stand before you today, I can agree with those of you who want a minimum for the first two situations. However, the one that I want you to consider further is the third situation, in which the actor is 18 or older and in a position of authority. It was mentioned last week that you could have someone who was at a fast food restaurant who was in fact an 18-year-old supervisor and has consensual sex with someone who is 15 or younger. By no means of our imagination does that even begin to approach the level of the crime for the first two situations where the child's under 13, they're 12. That is truly child rape. But when we write laws, we have to deal with the bill before us. And the bill before us is flawed, in my mind, because of this one situation. And so as I've been listening, I've been trying to think of the situations in which you could truly say the person, the actor, is in a position of authority. Clearly this was written for if a minister rapes a young person in his congregation, or if a teacher or a coach, those nationally well-publicized cases, those positions of authority, a true employer takes advantage of their position of authority. But as you think about it, as the law is written and as you are about to vote, you would be considering it child rape if there was consensual sex between, let's say, hey, you're a camp counselor, you're a junior counselor, you're a senior in high school, you're 18, and you have a summer fling with someone at camp who's 15, and you both participate willingly. That would fall under this bill. What if you're a youth soccer coach? You happen to get to help with coaching the other sex that summer, but you are in a position of authority by virtue of being a coach. And again, the one where we all know the kids who have the opportunity to work in various convenience stores or fast food ones, and you know the romances that occur in those circumstances. By no means does this particular category reach the level of the other two. Now, there are some of you who are thinking, well, let's pass it, and they'll fix it in the Senate. And what? I can't talk about that. But I would say that any time you vote, you can only vote on the bill in front of you. We can return next year and make it as good as possible, but nothing is worse than passing flawed legislation and having it affect the lives of individuals for a year until we figure out, oh, we should have taken a little bit more time that one day and passed legislation that was wholly sound. And for that reason, and that single reason alone, I cannot support the bill before us, but support the amendment.
Chairman Landon, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I want to thank the bringer of the amendment also. You know, this has been kind of a long discussion, and it's a difficult discussion, but it's really a very important discussion that we have here. You know, I've heard everything from child rape to just what the previous good speakers talked about, the not knowing the all the particulars about that particular case, not knowing all the particulars about a 17-year-old and a 12-year-old who are covered by this. And nor should we know that, and nor can we know that, but what our decision that we're making today says that we are not going to listen to all the particulars in any of those things, that we're going to decide by this vote here and not by the merits of the case. I found it interesting in the previous discussion that this was brought by a prosecutor, and that's proper. But I also, from the time that I spent on the Judiciary Committee, noticed how infrequently judges came and talked to our committee. They have so much respect for our system. They have so much respect for the three branches of government. Prosecutor's job is not judging. That's probably what bothers me most about this bill, is it's a judgment before being heard. And our Constitution was designed so that everybody would have their day in court. Even if we thought that what they did was the horriblest, most amoral act we could possibly imagine, they are to have their day in court. They would be heard by a judge. And if it went before a jury, it would be a jury of peers. And I think the judiciary respects that, and they don't come to the legislature. They expect us to respect that as well. They expect us to have an understanding of that. So I just urge everybody to respect that and not support this bill. We need to start and say we are going to leave to the judiciary those things that the judiciary should be doing, and they can sentence up to 50 years. And so we have given them a wide range and a very high sentence that they can apply in those cases where they don't want those people coming out of prison for a long time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would just point out that we heard the term rape. And it might be rape or it might not. The statute says intrusion. It doesn't say rape. And I think that's one of our shortcomings that I see in this body sometimes, is we construct these straw men in our own image, and then we come up here and burn them down. And the fact of the matter is, it may be a heinous predator who commits rape on a helpless child, or it might be something else. But the crime doesn't say that. The crime doesn't give the jury the discretion to decide which of those two scenarios it is. If there's intrusion, he's guilty. And the only one then that can deal with those, with all that range of what-ifs and facts and circumstances, is the judge. And we ought to leave it to the judge's good graces to treat it properly. On and for the amendment against the bill.
For their second time. Representative Lebno.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It wasn't easy bringing this third reading amendment, and I'm aware that there are political consequences to my bringing it, but I'm here and it's the right thing to do. We are all in agreement about child rape. I know firsthand what it's like to have a trusted member of your community, and be it a priest or a fire chief or a community leader or a youth leader, to be in your midst and to be exposed as a pedophile. And I know that initial sense of shock and then the anger, kind of a primal guttural rage that starts to well up inside of you. And then the irrational thoughts that come to minds of good, civilized people about how maybe in this particular case it's right to take matters into your own hands and to mete out justice in a way that our justice system doesn't mete it out. I know those feelings, and I know the feelings of a lot of friends of mine that have those feelings. But then you begin to realize that we live in a civilized society and we have a marvelous system for meting out justice, and justice is meted out. And we don't need to take the laws into our own hands because we have a system that we've set up. This isn't a referendum on child rape. This is talking about legislation and, in my mind, flawed legislation. I asked a question on first reading. I said, which judges are not issuing appropriate sentences? If you rape a child, you should go to jail, and you should go to jail for 50 years. And people in Wyoming do, and the system makes that happen. Rape a child, go to jail. What we're talking about is inartfully crafted legislation. Because we're not talking about child rape, and that's the problem with the legislation. If it were child rape, mandatory minimums, that's fine. But it's easy to concoct scenarios that have unintended consequences in our legislation. It says under 62314, an actor commits the crime of sexual abuse of the minor in a first degree if, being 18 years of age or older, the actor inflicts sexual intrusion on a victim who is less than 16 years of age, and the actor occupies a position of authority in relation to a victim. Well, make an assumption that an adult had sex with a minor. Well, that's an easy one. That's easy for us in our minds to paint a picture and say, go to jail forever. What if the actor's 18 and the victim was 15? Well, that gets a little fuzzier. We're talking about kids now, and we're saddling them with a 15-year felony in the penitentiary, but we're talking about kids. Maybe that isn't fair. What if they both worked at a recreation facility? What if he was 15 years old, mature for his age, had facial hair, and he lied about his age, and he was the aggressor, and they had sexual relations? She still gets the 15-year mandatory minimum felony under the legislation as we have before us as drafted. What if they were married in Minnesota, Mississippi, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, which allows marriages for people at the age of 15 years of age, and they work together? Under this statute, as proposed, it's a 15-year mandatory minimum sentence. I will tell you that I despise pedophiles. I hate pedophiles. And I use that word knowingly, and it's a word that I don't use often. It's not one that's in my vocabulary. If we voted for bill titles, I'd vote for this bill. But we're voting on the language of this bill, and the language of this bill is defective. We are here, and we are obligated to craft legislation, and legislation that applies to every person equally, based upon the words we choose. And we're voting on a bill here which I believe has serious unintended consequences. I think we should tread lightly. I'd urge you to vote no on this bill. Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. House Bill 98, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Dirks, excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubnow.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
McComey. No.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlek.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Throne. No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Philp. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 20 ayes, 39 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 98. Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 98 has failed the House. That order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Brown. Committee of the whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 182. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 182, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to low-profit limited liability companies. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Lubnow, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, signed Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 182 do pass. And to explain this bill, the good representative from House District 43.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased to present House Bill 182, Low-Profit Limited Liability Companies, or what we're hopefully going to be calling L3Cs. There was a handout that came out this morning on your desk that says House Bill 182 with my name on top. Mr. Chairman, this is a new concept that's hitting the country this year. It's being introduced in at least 10 states. The easiest way to explain it to the body, as it is kind of a tough concept, is it's the merger of a limited liability company, an LLC, with a nonprofit entity. An L3C can be formed as long as it serves a nonprofit, charitable, or educational purpose. The handout on your desk go through specific examples of how this kind of private, nonprofit partnership works. explaining it in its simplest terms, it allows for a large national nonprofit foundation to be able to invest in smaller nonprofits around the country as long as it's a charitable or educational endeavor, and it allows for partnership then with for-profit investors as well. Page 3 of the handout details how this would work, where a foundation can put in what they call a PRI, or a program-related investment, into an entity at high risk. But since it's for a charitable purpose with the risk, the need there isn't a need for return on the investment from the nonprofit. With a foundation or large nonprofit taking the bulk of the risk, it allows the for-profit ventures and entities to invest at a lower risk and hopefully a potentially high rate of return, and make something that would otherwise scare venture capitalists and investment firms off, and makes investing in these L3Cs very attractive for the for-profit entities. And obviously the more investment into a charitable nonprofit, the better help that it is. The concept was developed by a former director of the IRS and many, many lawyers to meet the tax code. Thus, the actual language of the bill is really quite simple, because all we're doing is making a statute stating that an L3C has to meet the Internal Revenue Code requirements already in place. You find that on page 2 of the bill, where it defines an L3C as a limited liability company that has set forth in its articles of organization a business purpose that satisfies, and which limited liability companies at all times operated to satisfy, each of these requirements. The first being that it further, significantly furthers the accomplishment of one or more charitable or educational purposes within Section 170C2B of the IRC, and would not have been formed if it wasn't for the accomplishment of a charitable educational purpose. B basically says that the production of income or appreciation of property is allowed, but it's not the purpose of the LLC. And C, no purpose of the entity can be for political or legislative means. The rest of the bill is just to conform the L3C's name requirements into our current LLC law and to allow for administrative forfeiture of an L3C should it wish to do. So the way these things work is that the hope is that a nonprofit becomes an L3C and then either goes back to being a nonprofit when it's achieved its purpose, or goes into LLC when the for-profit purpose of the entity branches off. I know that's a little rough concept, but I'd be happy to explain in more technical detail if anybody has any questions.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of House Bill 182. For those of you that have operated nonprofits in the past, there's one thing about nonprofits that we all know, is that finding administrative dollars to run that operation is always a struggle from year to year. This method allows a nonprofit to join with a company in which those profits can be reinvested back in into a charitable purpose. That is really the deal here, is charitable. The charitable purpose of an L3C that allows a nonprofit to merge and make them a more viable nonprofit in that case to provide that that charitable purpose. Mr. Chairman, I rise in support of this bill.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question having been called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 182 do pass, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 182 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 110, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to economic development regarding Wyoming Business Ready Community Program. This bill was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Moniz, Roscoe, Stepson, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 110 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1, corrected copy. And I would like to just take a moment with the Standing Committee Amendment. On page 2, line 1 of the bill, page 2, line 6, and page 3, line 2, were just for further clarification of what the intent of the bill was. Page 3, line 6, There was a repayment provision if the money was not used properly, and we added with a reasonable rate of return. And so I'd urge your support of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question.
And if there's no questions, I'll call for the question.
Is there any other discussion on Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 110? Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 110 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment has passed the committee, and we're back on the bill. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from House District number 9.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Chairman Lockhart, for allowing me to floor this bill. This is a minerals bill that was discussed over the interim. It simply allows there was a budget footnote on this, and it just simply allows a time frame for that to go into effect. Basically, what the bill does is allow data centers the opportunity to come into Wyoming. We have one in state at the moment. There's three others being proposed, looking at it. Up in Upper Lincoln County, I believe in Sheridan County, and of course also the ones that we have here in Laramie County. Basically, the bill allows for a discount on the utilities for these companies. The one that's in existence at the moment is using wind power to a large extent, and so we're awful happy to see that. And then in return for that, state government and entities would get a discounted rate for their data storage. And right now that is set at about 15%, which would end up being a large savings for the state of Wyoming. The one that's in operation at the moment already has commitments from businesses in Fremont County, Teton County, Albany County, Laramie County. And I would just urge the body to vote yes on this to get technology into the state of Wyoming. It's essential that we get data centers in place. Companies, once these get into place here in the state of Wyoming, it's going to draw more companies. There'll be low-tech companies that'll want to come to Wyoming. There'll be video media type of companies that want to come to Wyoming. It'll encourage large call centers to come to Wyoming. All these companies need lots of data storage. Also, it'll be a great economic boost to the communities that these come into. These cost about $1,000 per square foot to build. And as you can imagine, that would boost the economy. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I would stand for questions.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One question I would have is with regard to the cost of electrical power and the reduction in the cost of the electrical power, who's underwriting the cost of that? Kind of goes back to the idea that there's no such thing as a free lunch, and somebody has to underwrite the cost of the reduction in electrical power. Is it going to be made up by other users of electricity paying a premium price to cover it, or is it going to result in lowering profits for investor-owned utilities, or kind of expand on that, and I'd be happy.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could I ask where the money is going to come from? I notice there's no fiscal note on this one. Where is the money going to come from for the building of these centers? Thank you.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to the fine representative from House District 40, the cost of the utility will be somewhat deferred by the Wyoming Business Council, and also these folks are utilizing a whole bunch of solar and wind energy. And hopefully in response to the fine gentleman from House District 18, this was a budget footnote, so the money is already there. They just did not have time to get this implemented in time to make it happen. One other thing I would like to mention is that the grants that are given through the Wyoming Business Council are somewhat dependent on the wage that these companies give. So it's kind of a win-win situation in that area.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to the question, where does the money come for the capital construction, that comes from the business itself. That's not That's not what we're subsidizing. It's the rate that they pay for their electric service through the grant, but not the building itself.
Chairman Lamon.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if there was any time limits on this subsidy. I know when I first got here 11 years ago, we'd been subsidizing ethanol for 10 years, and the whole idea was to get it started. We're still doing that today, so that's been close to 20 years that that's been going on. And that's my concern with all of these things is you know, it seems that if the business isn't strong enough to go out into the market and support things, and here in Wyoming we have lower electrical costs than many of our neighboring states. And so now we're going to, it looks like to me like the proposal is to make it even cheaper. And report after report that I see on these subsidies that are made by groups that study the outcomes of subsidizing business and the outcomes of not subsidizing business repeatedly find that they intuitively they sound good and they feel good, but just like the subsidy on for the sales tax on these wind generators is they really they're just a taxpayer losing proposition, and I don't know how we can pick the winners and losers by subsidizing like this. And so I guess that, let me simplify it. I kind of got off on a rant. Sorry about that, but, you know, a good rant kind of cleans you out in the morning, I guess. So I'm just going to end by saying, is there any time period that was proposed on these subsidies?
Representative Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the fine representative from House District 30. These grants are on a three-year basis. And I can't tell you the exact amount of the grants because it's a very complicated formula, which I'm be more than happy to show you, but it's based a little bit on the wage that they put in for the employees that they hire. And I should mention that the wages are going to be substantially above the medium wage in those areas. But right now we have it set up for a three-year time frame.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, rising on and in favor of the bill. The other thing to keep in mind is there are specific accountability measures built into this. There are under sub-Robinet 3, there are specific benchmarks that must be met by those applicants for the grant. And then if they don't, if they end up, for example, leaving the state within the 5 years, they're going to have to repay that money and repay it with a reasonable rate of return to the state. So there are certainly accountability measures built into the bill. And the other, I think, point that bears some mention is that if you have a vision on the economic horizon of this state, data centers are an extremely important part of that makeup. It is the next generation of Wyoming's economic development. And it not only does those things that ordinary economic development does, including the high-wage jobs that the good representative from Laramie County was talking about, but it solves a lot of our other problems, too. We've talked numerous times on this floor about transmission problems and the difficulty in getting electronic transmission out of this state. This is an answer to that problem. You get these data transmission centers in the state, and their currency is really electricity. They are huge consumers of electricity. And all of a sudden, you've addressed that transmission problem, and you've built on the strength that our state already has. So I would just encourage the body to take a step towards the future with this bill. It allows us to build that foundation and encourage these centers to come in, and it will be a good thing for the state.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and in favor of this piece of legislation. I just want to again remind the body that this was a program that was originally started out as a budget footnote a couple of years ago. It does have funding. The Business Council has set up some very good rules, policies, and procedures to guide how this money is spent. And I just ask you to consider what my colleague from Natrona County just reiterated to you. These types of projects are very important to the state of Wyoming. They bring some very high-paying jobs. Oftentimes, it doesn't require a large workforce, so that means that just about any community in the state of Wyoming can seek this type of center in its community. So it has really, really good benefits and potential for the entire state. So on and in favor of the bill.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very quickly, as having been able to go and tour one of these facilities here in Laramie County, I just wanted to echo the words of the good representative from Natrona County as well. It's an exciting new prospect for Wyoming, an exciting new niche in the market. I can tell you that the business here in Laramie County is getting international support and has definitely cutting edge, very, very exciting. So I would encourage the body to support this legislation.
Representative Zwanitzer the Younger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to some of the questions asked, just because the current business in the state is in my district, I wanted to give a little more clarification on how this works and why this is needed. And it's an economy of scale problem. Basically, what they need to be, it's a transmission capacity problem, I guess is probably the better way of saying it. These businesses need to buy a certain amount of bandwidth, and obviously the more you buy, the cheaper it is. But you can't buy the needed rate of bandwidth as a startup company because it's so expensive unless you can automatically come online with, 100 different investors. But basically, as these companies grow and become larger, they can buy more bandwidth and then it becomes cheaper. But right now, to start these companies up, these data centers, basically the entire business environment is against you unless you have, in some ways we can call it a subsidy, but it's a help with startup costs that you need to be able to grow. And once you get to a certain point, you won't need this program anymore. And I believe that our business council is very thorough in making sure, when they come to that point, we'll quit subsidizing them. But there really is a need to be able to get these companies online by providing this initial base for them to be able to grow into a very powerhouse company. Many other states, especially in the West Coast, have hundreds, if not thousands, of these data centers. And especially with this, I don't know if I can use the proper name, but this very large computer we're getting here in Laramie County, we're expecting many other businesses to move into Wyoming and this part of the state that are going to be reliant on these type of centers. And so it's our very best ability to get more of these online. They provide a great benefit to government, to municipalities throughout the state, as you heard. I also got the tour of this facility in my district, and I was very impressed. If we get a couple more of these in the state, technology is going to abound, and this is basically the framework and the groundwork we have to do to become a technological state. Thank you.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question. I understand the intent of the bill, and I agree with it entirely, but I have a question regarding the cost of electrical power in on page 2, line 10. Seems like that's a big difference between the bandwidth, and I understand the bandwidth, so I don't know if one of the representatives, either one of them, can explain that to me from Laramie County on how that would work for a company that would be providing this service and how the flow of funds would work with the business council to that business back and forth for services. I just don't really see, I can't see the concept, I guess, and practicality if someone would explain that to me.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regard to the discount, if you will, on the electric rates, we have a lot of different servers in the state and different rates, so the percentage impact and that sort of thing really varies with the community. For instance, the one in Cheyenne, the primary server has a fairly low rate now, and so that component of the cost of these business has a lesser impact. The one we heard of during the interim was a very small community in northwest Wyoming, and I don't know the cost of the rates there. The question was asked, what kind of an impact would that have? They didn't know, but it depends on the server of the community, and we have municipals, we have our rural electrics, we have others, so the discount is based on the economic modeling that they provide to the business council and the analysis, along with the bandwidth that they try to tie up for the future future growth of their business. So it goes in the vetting process before the grants are made as they work through the business council.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess if, and thinking in concept, if this is a trucking company, we're paying for the gas for the trucks. We're paying for the electrical bill for those servers, or this, we're subsidizing and we're assisting a company because they're energy intensive, because it's just computers running 24 hours a day. We're providing the energy. We're helping that company out with that particular bill. And if that's the case, you know, I would all be for encouraging, you know, for instance, the company that has come before us in Laramie County uses wind power and solar power, and I would hope that would continue to be encouraged with those businesses, so we don't just pay the bill. If they can be self-supporting and generate their own electricity, I would just assume the grant go to that end as well. So,
Chairman Lockhart.
Certainly, as we develop the energy resources in the state, there will be components that will be made up of a variety of things. And as you know, a significant amount of wind generation is being added. There is some solar, and there are, of course, probably some that we can't see at the moment that could happen on this. I'd like to just take you back a little bit in history when we passed the budget footnote and argued for it on the floor of the House. Is this state of ours is spending a lot of money out of state for data storage, and so not only are we creating a new business here, but we're spending the money for data storage in the state rather than sending it to other centers that are remote from Wyoming. I think this is after that diversification with high-tech, high-paying jobs that we've been working on for a number of years. And we had the living, breathing example of the one that was started up here in Cheyenne. What we found out was the footnote deadlines that we had for completion and negotiation with the business council, they were just too tight to have that made. So I urge your support of the bill.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. Is there any provision in here that after we've helped them reach this point, that they start paying us back? Otherwise, we give them the startup money, they become, self-sufficient, and maybe there's a way that they could be paying us back anything. I haven't seen that in here, but maybe I've overlooked it.
Representative Zwanzer, the elder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to the last two speakers, there is somewhat of a provision. If on page 2, it says in exchange for providing these reductions, and we're speaking of the utility reductions in costs, I'm sorry, in exchange for providing the reductions in costs, the political subdivisions receiving the grant and providing the reduction in costs shall contract with the business to receive direct benefits and indirect economic development benefits. But basically what's going to happen is the government agencies here in the state of Wyoming are going to receive a 15% discount. So these data centers are going to start returning economic development right off the bat from the get-go.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to add one thing that came up, and that was how much energy these use and so on. And I know that's true. You know, they're really hard to cool and everything. But I also know that there's a great deal of research going into this. You know, this whole IT thing's really exciting because they keep blowing whatever they've done before out of the water with new research every few years, and there's actually light technology coming in on these storage centers that eventually they're going to just be sipping energy. I don't think this advocates waiting for that or anything, but I just wanted to say things aren't static. They're changing all the time, and energy costs are going to be something that's disruptive technology is going to make insignificant in the future.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The heat generated from the data storage devices is extreme, but in Laramie, Wyoming, or Cheyenne, Wyoming, at 6,000 feet, on a day like this, you just open a door and they cool down.
Debate appearing to cool. Is there any more discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 110 do pass, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 110 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Buchanan, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee reports. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet in the next 4 minutes. In House 18, we'll discuss HJ 9, Wind Energy, HB 74, Water and Sewer Districts Maps, HB 78, Improvement and Service Districts, and House Bill 104, Special District Elections Polling Place Requirements.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet at adjournment today in room H-17 to hear House Bill 146, Emergency Medical Services Sustainability Trust, and House Bill 157, Child Fatality Review.
Any more committee reports? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I did get significant feedback on the dress code of the House of Representatives. So effective this week and starting tomorrow, if you have anything that is ruby, you should wear it because it's Ruby Tuesday. And then we'll start with camel-colored coats and jackets on Wednesday, and there is one open item, and that was the ugly tie, ugly scarf thing that we had on Friday, and I think the good chairman from Cody, Wyoming, might explain that one. It was one that didn't catch on after I got here, but I heard the history of it, and so I think we need a little discussion on that component.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to talk about Plaid Thursday.
Anyone else for their first rant? Committee of the Whole is adjourned until 2 p.m.